Thanks, Dylan. Well, hey guys. Like Dylan said, I'm Jordan Prohoda, and I'm with Salt Company Cedar Falls. And guys, God's doing an incredible work up there. I just wanted to start my sermon tonight. I'm going to rob some time from my sermon to let you guys know what God's doing. We're about a five-year-old baby, and God's grown us in incredible ways. We've moved from high schools and to a warehouse, and now we just got a new auditorium. I got a picture of it. We just moved in this past year. You can't see it super well, but it holds about 1,000 people, so it's about the size of your guys' here. And we got a ton of college students that are filling that place right now, as Michael, my co-director, is preaching tonight. So that's a ton of fun. I got another picture here. This is just like a sweet story to me. This is a guy who's a student leader, and the guy he's hugging is his younger brother, who is now at UNI, and got up on stage and shared this incredible God story of how he's walked through depression and how Jesus is now his greatest joy and hope, and his brother got in the tank and dumped him, it didn't break up, dunked him, and that's them embracing in a loving brotherly hug. So guys, we got, I don't even know how many baptisms we're at right now. God's doing a sweet work in Cedar Falls, and you guys have to know, we're a part of a network and a family right now, and God's doing some incredible work through Salt Company, and so let's get on that stuff. But guys, this feels like family to me. So Nathan, who asked me to come speak tonight, and is it here, he's in Boston or something. I know Nathan. I went on a two-week trip with him to Greece. We got to do Paul's second missionary journey together through Cornerstone School of Theology. That was a ton of fun. Dylan, D-Ray, we do CST classes together, or we did. He's done. I got a couple left. And then Jenny, woo that. Yep. Are you wooing me not being done, you jerk? Yep. Yeah, we'll talk later, buddy. And then Jenny, this is cool. So we went overseas to China together. I don't know how many years ago that was. I feel old, but we went to Bring Me Hope Camp together. So guys, this feels like family to me in a lot of different ways. And I've never been to Cedar Rapids Salt Company, so this is a blast for me to be here. And of course, Nathan asked me to come during your Birds and the Bees series and asked me to talk about purity, which if you're familiar with Christianity and purity, you're like, you're already feeling a little sweaty. Some of you guys, if this is your first time at Salt Company, you're like, this is great. What's purity? What are we talking about? It's kind of like this. It'd be like if you were in middle school and you went over to your friend's house and you went around their dinner table and it's like mom and dad and brother and sister, and mom and dad had just found out that your friend had been looking at pornography, and they decided that that was the night that they were going to choose to bring it up and address that with him while you're at the dinner table. And you're like, I just wanted the lasagna, and I thought we were going to watch The Office, maybe a Hallmark movie. It's going to kind of be like that if you're new to Salt Company. Fair warning. So I'm that guy. You're going to see me at the Salt Spring Conference and be like, you're the dude that talked about purity. I'm that guy to you guys. So I'm all right with that. My identity's in Jesus. So, hey, guys, if you have your Bibles, I'm actually going to walk through a passage that Nathan recently walked through, but in a very different, like, light and angle. And it's going to be Ephesians 5, and it's the first chunk of Ephesians 5. I'm just going to walk through the first 14 verses. And I think Nathan sent me his sermon notes and kind of, or his spark notes on what he talked about. And he talked a lot about your guys' identity in this book and in this chapter in particular passage. So I'm just going to walk through the first half of this, and we're going to walk through this together. We're going to have some fun tonight. So verse 1 says this, therefore, in light of all of this, Paul is going to say, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you as is proper for saints. Coarse and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For no one recognized this. Every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah of God. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. So, I want to show you guys a picture. I got a picture of my family here. And this is my family, and this is fun news. I became a nephew not too long ago. Or I became a nephew. It's exciting, right? I did it. 29 years old. I finally landed on the moon as a nephew. Uncle. My nephew's right there. His name's Miles. He's less than 1 year old. And that's the rest of my family. It's my fiance, my sister, a couple brothers, my mom. And then I show you this picture because I want to show you my dad. He's the bald guy in the back. And guys, I love my dad like crazy. And as I was studying out this passage, I spent some time just musing on like how, and maybe you guys have found this to be true of you, how creepy it is how similar I am to my dad, and mostly in like the things I enjoy and like doing. So I love wakeboarding. Well, it's probably not a coincidence that my dad picked up wakeboarding at the same time. This is kind of embarrassing. Beat me to the 180. He's over 50 years old. Kind of embarrassing. And but we love wakeboarding. We do that together. Basketball, we love that. Ping pong. He taught me how to play ping pong. Now I love ping pong. I don't hunt. My dad doesn't hunt. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. Maybe that's like, if that's your guys' story, it's like, oh, I got a dad who hunts or fishes or whatever. It's like, yeah, I just do that because my dad did that. And even just like spiritual disciplines, my dad's a super godly dude. And I've just noticed the way I do my spiritual disciplines, like even in the morning, is just very similar to how he does it. And so I'm thinking about this. I'm like, man, I feel like I copy my dad a lot in life, and I imitate him a lot. And so I asked the question, what is a prerequisite or the prerequisite for imitating or copying someone? I thought of two things. Like, you have to know them, got to know them well. I know my dad pretty well. And you just have to be around them a ton. Like, it's just quantity time of getting around with my dad that I'm like, I just picked up on these things. And so when Paul says, be imitators of God, it's like, well, how do we imitate God? Well, guys, just get to know him, right? Like, through scripture and his word and prayer. Like, you just have to get to know who God is. And my other encouragement would be this. I mean, if you want to know who God is, you got to remember he came in flesh, and we have all the stories of Jesus in our Holy Scripture, right? You want to get to know who God is, get to know Jesus, God with us, right? So the things that Jesus loves, man, we should love. The things Jesus hates, we should probably hate. The things he's interested in, we should probably be interested in. So you got to get to know who Jesus is. And the last thing I would say is, man, get around other godly people. You guys are a part of an amazing church in Cedar Rapids Veritas. It's incredible what God's doing in that auditorium and in this community. Get around godly people in your community. Man, they will point you to be like God, to imitate God. So be imitators of God. And then what does it say? As dearly loved children. Now, we at Salt Company Cedar Falls, we are going through the book of Ephesians. So you guys probably wouldn't know this, or maybe you do, but in these first four chapters, Paul's just unpacking what it means to have an identity in Jesus. Like, you were once strangers and enemies to God, now you are brought in as sons and daughters and loved ones. Like, when God sees you, he sees Jesus put on the righteousness of Christ. Like, that's what Paul is talking about. And so what he does is he reminds them of their identity, that you've been adopted in as dearly loved children. And guys, I hope this becomes very clear to you, that our God that we serve is not like some mean boss jerk who's just kind of up in heaven telling us what to do, but rather like a loving, caring father. You guys have to know, like, there are many roles that come with being a father. And that might include, like, protecting the family, like, encouraging and spurring on, but at the same time, like, commanding you to obey. Now, when I was a kid, I was a bit of a, my mom would say I would climb all over the place on stuff. I actually have a picture of when I was a kid. This is kind of a fun one. You love, yep. I'm on the one on the right, the cute one. So when I was a kid, my mom said I would crawl on top of everything. So now imagine my dad sitting me down, right? And having a conversation saying, hey, Jordan, it's fine for you to climb up on like the small step stools and like this little bench, this little chair is fine. But that bookshelf that we have in our living room, I'm going to ask you to not climb to the top of that bookshelf, all right? Now, the question is, why would my dad tell me not to climb to the top of the bookshelf? Yeah, fun hater, like, he just doesn't love me, right? No, it's because he doesn't want me to fall and crack my head, right, and take me to the emergency room. Like, my dad would give me that command because he loves me and he cares for me and he knows what's best for me. And so you guys have to know this, because tonight God's going to unpack four commands. And you just have to see it through the lens of not as like a mean boss from heaven, but a loving, caring father who's like, trust me. Don't go to the top of the bookshelf. You have to trust me on this. Obey me. So, with that lens, the first thing that God gives is something we should do, right? In verse 2, it says, and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Now, I'm not going to spend too long here, but ultimately it's the gospel, right? The way that Jesus loved us and gave everything for us on that cross, right? The ultimate sacrifice. That's how we're to love others. That's what we should do, is love one another the way Jesus first loved us. It's the gospel. It's the motivation for everything we do, is to love as Jesus first loved us. But after he does that, he's going to give three things we should not do. Now, before I go there, I want you to imagine with me that I have with me a pan of brownies, right? And I cut into the brownies, and I pull one out, and I'm offering one to you on a napkin. I say, here's a brownie. I want you to have it, because I'm a good guy. I'll tell you what's in it. So there's only a handful of ingredients. It's the mix that I put in, and there's the eggs, and vegetable oil, and a little water, and I found a little bit of dog poop that I just happened to mix into the batter. You know, you look at that brownie, and then you look at me, you're like, you're not my friend anymore. Right? But I'm like, even if it was like, it's just a little bit, right? It's not that much dog poop. Half a teaspoon. I measured it, right? You'd be like, no. You put dog poop in the brownies. Don't do that, right? Even if it's just a little bit, it just kind of contaminates everything. And we just know well enough, so like, okay, I'm not going to eat that brownie. You've ruined the brownie. Now, I say that because I want to say this. The way we treat God with our sexual purity is similar to the brownie scenario. And what I mean is this. Some of us will say, man, it's not that big of a deal that I look at porn and masturbate like once a week. It's not even that much, really. Or say something like, man, I wasn't actually even looking at pornography. I was just watching a movie and the scene came up. I didn't fast forward, whatever. I didn't actually have sex with her. I just fantasized about having sex with her. I didn't actually go through the act of sex. Brothers, man, oral sex isn't actually sex, right? It's not actually the act. It's different. It's like, hey, I don't understand why groping my girlfriend is that big of a deal. Like, show me the chapter and verse where that's a big deal. Like, that's a sin to God. Now, some of you right now are like, bro, you're just the guest speaker. I don't know if you can say the G word on stage right now, you know? I guess. Why do I have to be specific? It's because I know amongst this crowd, there's probably like a godly couple in here right now who's like been walking in purity for the last 2 or 3 years that just started holding hands last week, and they're like, I knew I shouldn't have done it. I gotta talk to him. I'm not talking to you. Meanwhile, there's someone over here who's dry humping his girlfriend and thinks it's okay because his pants are still on. And if it feels like I'm a little bit passionate about this, I am. Why? Because, guys, this was me in college. In my legalistic mind, I was like, man, as long as I keep my pants on, I'm all right. Like, I can't be breaking that many rules. And I'm telling you guys tonight, my fiance is in the back here tonight. And, man, I'm telling you guys, when I had to sit down with Casey and share my sexual failures in my life, it's like one of the worst moments of my life, having to share that with her. The scars go so deep. The top five sins I regret most in my life, all sexual sins. And I'm telling you, I wish somebody would have loved me enough when I was in college to grab me by the shirt and point me to Ephesians 5:3, where it says in the NIV, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality." Not even a hint. Nothing. "Sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of you, as is proper for the saints." I didn't think it was that big of a deal. It's a big deal to God. Should be a big deal to us. And there might be some of you here tonight who were like me when I was in college. And on the outside, you're putting on a pretty good show. And it's like, man, I'm going through the motions, connection group, Salt Company, Veritas. I'm doing all the right things. But on the inside, it's very different. And the secrets you have, you don't want to share. I've been there. Guys, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have to hear this tonight. Not even a hint. And boy, what timing. Because I'll tell you guys, when I went on Thanksgiving break, that was where temptation was the highest for me, for sexual immorality, pornography, and masturbation, when I was in college. That was the time. For some of you just going back home, just can do that. And I had to memorize Ephesians 5:3, where it says, not even a hint. We are to imitate God's holiness in that way. Now, again, if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, let me be very clear that I'm not talking to you, right? You just happened to slide a chair up during the awkward family dinner conversation, right? But for you, if you're a follower of Jesus, are you going to take God's word seriously or not? His holiness seriously or not? Not even a hint. Not even a hint of sexual immorality or greed, which amongst college students, like, well, I can't be greedy because I'm broke. Not true. Greed's of the heart. It's not a money issue. It's a heart issue. You can be very greedy without much money, right? Learn how to be generous in this season of life that God's given you. No greed, no coarse talking. Humor's great. Coarse talking and off-color jokes, not from the Lord. That doesn't imitate his holiness. And I just want to address the elephant in the room. It feels like there's a lot of elephants in the room right now. But one I want to address is this. The three things I just talked about, sexual immorality, greed, money stuff, coarse joking, very acceptable and actually just the norm in American culture, right? And if you're a follower of Jesus tonight, let me be very clear. We are not called to imitate American culture. We are called to imitate the holiness of God. That's our calling. That's if you're in the family. If you're not in the family, there's actually a warning in verse 5 to 6 that you have to be clear about. And I want to reread this for you. In 5 it says this, "For know and recognize this, every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things." Now, at first glance, for all of us, maybe, that's like a scary verse. You read that and it says, if you're sexually immoral or an impure or greedy person, you won't have the inheritance of God and you're going to fall underneath his wrath. Which, if you sit there and think about it for a little bit, you're like, boy, so if I've screwed up even once, or if I'm in a pattern right now, like, am I not going to heaven? And again, let me be very clear where the scripture's clear on this. What Paul is talking about in this category is there is a path that leads to darkness and destruction and is without Jesus. And your identity isn't in King Jesus, it's in the things of this world. Your identity is found in sexual immorality, of greed, of what people think of you, of popularity. Like, you are defined by those things. You are a greedy person. That's your identity. It's not in Jesus. You might even bubble Christianity, but it's like, in reality, it's like, no, but it's very clear who's king of your life, and it's not Jesus, right? That's one path. That's the clear warning. Now, there is another path, right? And I want to be very clear on this, because some of you here, like me, are followers of Jesus, where your identity is in Jesus. But if you're going to be honest with yourself, you're going to say, I struggle with this stuff. Guys, I'm telling you, we're not perfect, and we will screw up, and temptation is very real. Guys, a month from today, I'm getting married. That's what's true, which is pretty flippin' awesome. Pretty excited about that. Yeah, you can clap for that. Yep. Like something to break the awkwardness. Yes, I'm getting married, but Casey and I have just chosen to walk in purity. And I am telling you, the temptation is real. It's real. And not only just physically, but thought life. I am consistently and constantly bouncing thoughts. And to be honest, about our wedding night, I can't wait. But at the same time, I'm not allowed to fantasize in those thoughts. I'm not allowed to cross lines of immorality with Casey. Sexual activity is meant for the context of marriage. Now, if I give in to a temptation where I were sexually immoral with Casey before we jump in to marriage, guys, you have to see this path. It doesn't mean now I've lost my salvation. What it means is my identity is still very much in Jesus and not these things. Now, am I called to repent and ask forgiveness? Absolutely. But my identity is not found in my sin. My identity is found in Jesus. Does that make sense? When the Father sees me, he sees perfection because he sees Jesus. That's the path. We're all human, right? Two paths. Darkness and light. And as Paul finishes up this passage, he's going to unpack both of those paths just a little bit more. So follow with me in 7 through 14 as we finish up God's word tonight. It says this, "Therefore, do not become their partners, the people who are walking the path of darkness. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made clear, for what makes everything clear is light. Therefore, it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you." Two paths, darkness and light. Paul's saying, if you are walking this path of light, do not give into and jump into the path of darkness. Now, he's not saying, boy, be a light to those people, be friends, win them to Christ, all those things. But he's saying, don't jump into and follow that path of darkness. We are children of light. And guys, verse 10, I don't want you to miss this. We are called to be light in goodness, righteousness, and truth. How? Discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, I own a house. It's a great starter home. I am not great with my lawn. This is actually really embarrassing. The neighbor I'm trying to win to Christ saw that my lawn was getting so long the other day that I got a missed phone call from him, and he's like, "Hey, Jordan, just call me back. Notice your lawn's getting a little long," or whatever. I'm like, "Oh, shoot, sorry. Been meaning to cut that." And I call him back, and he's like, "Actually, I'm just halfway through mowing your lawn. I'll just finish up." "No, that's great. Don't worry about it." I'm like, the guy I'm trying to win the Christ is like doing the Christ-like thing to my lawn. I'm not great with lawns and plants and all that stuff. But I do know this. If you want to plant a plant, like if I were to go to my backyard and plant something, if I want that something to go, I was trying to think of a plant name in my head. I'm like, I don't know, a fern, is that a plant? All right, if I were to plant a fern, can I get a confirmation, is that a plant? Okay. You plant a fern in the ground. If I want that fern to grow, what do I do? Put a little water on it, right? Like consistently add water. It will make it grow with the sunlight, all that stuff. I know, I was a biology major. Now, if I wanted to kill that thing, I would throw herbicides and horrible chemicals on it. That'd kill it. I'm not a, herpetologist, what's the word? Botanist, those people, I'm not one of them. But I know what's true. Water will make it grow. Throw some chemicals on it, it'll kill it. This is what I want to say. You're like, where are you going with this? Guys, the same thing is true with the Lord. If you want to walk in a way worthy of the Lord, grow in your walk with Christ, walk in purity, one simple question. Discern what is pleasing to the Lord, do those things. That's the water, right? Figure out, like, think in your mind, what would please the Lord? Would this please the Lord? Yes. It's going to grow your walk with the Lord. If you're going to do something that's not going to please the Lord, don't do it. It's like adding chemicals to that plant, right? So really, in your walk with the Lord, Christianity is pretty simple. Is whatever I'm about to do going to please the Lord? Yes, do it. No, don't do it. Right? Now, this kind of answers the million-dollar question that people ask in dating and stuff. Like, well, how far is too far? Right? Like, nobody wants to ask that question, but when someone asks, you're like, yeah, what's the answer? You know? Guys, discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Do those things. Don't do the things that will grieve your holy and perfect Father. It's that simple. And I think you know at your gut level what those things are. Discern what is pleasing to the Lord, what is good and righteous and holy and honoring to him. Do those things. Don't do the things that will anger, stir up his hatred because it's sin. Discern what is pleasing to the Lord. As children of light, please the Lord, and in verse 11, and expose the darkness. Guys, this is true for others. You might have times in your life where you're going to have to expose some darkness in brothers and sisters in Christ. But this is also your own life. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, keep everything in the light. Confess your sin. Keep it in the light. Fight to keep it in the light. The devil would love for you to keep these things that are in your life in the darkness and not tell anyone. Not confess that to the Lord, not confess that to others, just kind of let it sit like mold, like to dark, moist environments, right? And it grows. Expose it. Keep it in the light. So my question tonight is this. What does this look like? What do we do with all of this? And To finish, you guys can actually close your Bibles. I just want to share a story with you guys. I showed a picture of my dad, and my dad loves Jesus and has been an incredible rock in my life. And he's been in a lot of mountains and valleys with me. Guys, I'll never forget when I was in middle school, and before going to basketball practice with a buddy, we were downstairs in the basement, and looking at pornographic stuff and then actually printing them off to, like, take with us. And we went up to eat dinner, and sometime during dinner, apparently my mom went downstairs and saw the images that we had printed off, but didn't say anything at the moment. So we went to basketball practice, and when we got out, my dad picked me up, and guys, I'll never forget this. He looks at me and he goes, "Hey, so we saw some pictures printed off from the printer. Wondering if that was you." And in the moment, guys, I lied. I was like, "That's not me." Now, I'm pretty confident I was the only kid in the house. But I was like, "No. Nope." But I was like, "Okay." And we drove home. And I was pretty silent. And I remember pulling up to our front door, and he stopped and parked and looked at me again. He said, "I'm going to ask you again. Was that you that printed those pictures off?" Guys, in that moment, when I first walked into the car, I jumped in the car, my dad asked me that question. As a loving father, what do you think he wanted me to do? He wanted me to own my sin and ask for forgiveness. What did I do? Didn't want to own it. I lied, and I covered it up so quickly. And I think, guys, when it comes to our sin, and specifically our sexual sin, there's two paths you can take. And one is this. You can have remorse and resolution in your heart. Where remorse is like, "Man, I feel bad, and I can't believe I did that. I thought I was better than that." And then resolution, "But I'm going to try harder next time. I'll make sure that doesn't happen. Cover it up or whatever. I'll just try harder and make sure that doesn't happen again. I can't believe I did that." Guys, there is a path over here that's very different. And this path says something else. It says, "Yeah, I want to realize and repent." And when I say realize, I mean I own that sin. I own it. I know the depths of my sin as a sinner. I'll own that. And then repenting is saying, "Forgive me. Father, you're my only hope." Because if you're here tonight, and that's a sin that God is throwing on your heart, the response a loving father wants is to say, "I'll own it. That was me. I'll own it. Forgive me." What do you think my dad would have done in that moment in the car? You think he would have backhanded me, thrown me out of the car? No, as a loving father, if I'd have owned my sin and asked for forgiveness with loving arms, he would have spoke truth unto me, but he would have wrapped his arms around me and forgiven me with arms full of grace and love. How much more will a heavenly perfect father wrap you in his arms and say, "I love you. I forgive you"? So for some of you here tonight, maybe it's your first time at Salt Company, or you're saying, "I don't have that relationship with Jesus. I am that one going down that path of darkness." Maybe tonight's the night where you're just like, "Yeah, Jesus is my only hope. Faith and trust in Jesus is the way to salvation. I want that." But maybe there's a lot of you here in the room tonight that are more down this path, and you're saying, "Yeah, there's something I'm hiding right now, and I very much would rather keep it in the dark." Guys, own it. First and foremost with the Father. Say, "Yeah, I did these things. Ask for forgiveness." And maybe for some of you, and you know what this looks like, you're like, "I need to get this out in the community of faith. I need to tell some brothers and sisters in Christ that are close to me and are trying to keep me accountable. I need to let them know so they can pray for me." This last verse 14 says, "Get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you." Essentially, wake up, sleepy Christian. Walk into the light. Be brought into the light. Be wrapped and overwhelmed with God's love and his forgiveness. And run to a Father who loves you more than you'll ever know. And right now, guys, as I pray, what I'd love for you to do is in your seats to take your time as we jump back into worship. I'd love for you guys to just take some time with the Lord and stay seated until you're ready to stand up. And take some time confessing and owning sin in your life, specifically sexual sin, if that's what God's thrown on your heart through his Holy Spirit. And it's going to look very different for each one of you. And so I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to invite the band back up. And then whenever you guys are ready, you can stand up and join us in worship. Father, my prayer for this ministry, for this Salt Company tonight, is actually like a revival of sorts. Father, I pray that students here would see your word and your truth, and they would see it as truth. And Father, they would be compelled to follow your word. And Lord, we have to know that you are a loving Father and not a mean boss that's sitting up in heaven, but you love us and these commands are good for us. Father, would we imitate your holiness? And right now, Father, as we sit in what you're putting on each one of our hearts, Father, would we be the first to own our sin, to realize our sin, and to repent and ask for your forgiveness, and then just run to you like crazy, Jesus. You're our only hope. Do that now, Father, in our hearts.